When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And we're going to read now about the gift that Moses commanded. If you turn back, please, to Leviticus chapter 14. And it wasn't so much Moses that commanded it, but of course it was Moses who wrote the book of Leviticus, but it's really the Lord who commanded the gift to be offered. So Leviticus 14, verse 1, reading down to the end of verse 9. The book of Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes also, he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. This passage in Matthew chapter 8 and Leviticus 14, I believe it's an appropriate study for Easter Sunday. Today, of course, we think of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we also focus on the death of Christ. You remember that we said this morning that the Easter message is like a coin, and there's two sides to the coin, and of course the gospel is like a coin. It has the two sides. There's the death of Christ, then there's the resurrection of Christ, and we've got to get the balance right. We can't emphasize one above the other, and we can't neglect one and focus totally on the other. We've got to remember that the message of Easter and the message of the gospel is like the coin. And you know, here in Leviticus chapter 14, we read of two birds. And you know, here we have the gospel again. One bird dies. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, giving his life so that we might be saved. Then the other bird, it lives. The other bird is spared, and it's let loose into the open field, and it soars up toward heaven. That's a picture of the resurrection of Christ. It's a picture of the risen Lord Jesus, the one we celebrate today. So I trust that you'll realize that this message is suitable for Easter Sunday, that it has within it, that it contains, as it were, the Easter story. If we were to give a title to tonight's message, we could give it this title, A Tale of Two Birds. A Tale of Two Birds. I'm sure you all know of that novel written by Charles Dickens, The Tale of Two Cities. Well, here we have A Tale of Two Birds in Leviticus chapter 14. But I want us not only to focus on Leviticus 14 tonight, but let's focus also on Matthew chapter 8. And I want us to, first of all, think about the misery of the leper. We read there in Matthew chapter 8 that this particular leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why he came? Because he was absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable. Think with me about the condition of the leper. And as we think about his condition, you'll realize that he must have been a very miserable individual. You see, very often leprosy would have started off innocently. And perhaps the man would have been out farming, maybe in the field. Maybe he was out ploughing. And as he ploughed, perhaps he noticed on his hands just a few little spots, a few little white spots appearing, and he didn't think anything of it. But as time went by, there were more spots on his body. And eventually the time came whenever he realized that he would have to have his condition investigated. And so he would go to the priest. And the priest would examine the man, the priest would investigate the man, and he would quarantine the man for 14 days. The priest would then re-examine the man after the 14 days, and then would come the fearful words, "You've got leprosy. You've got leprosy." You can just imagine the leper speaking to the priest, "Can I go and say goodbye to my wife? Before I'm quarantined, before I'm separated, could I speak to my wife and bid farewell to my wife?" "No, sorry, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have any more contact with your wife." "Oh, but could I not just speak to my little children? Could I not just say goodbye to my little children before I'm separated and cut off from the rest of society?" You can just hear the priest's answer, "No, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to have contact with your children. You're an outcast now. You've got to go to the lepers' colony, outside the city, outside the camp." And you can just imagine that poor man as he goes off to the lepers' colony. And perhaps the little children, they come within a couple of hundred feet of him every day. And his wife comes along with the children. And you can just imagine them perhaps leaving food for the leper. And perhaps leaving a message for the leper. And the leper can see his wife and children, but he can't go near them. He's cut off from them. And the days pass and the months pass, the weeks pass. The months pass, the years pass. And he can see his little children growing up. But he has absolutely no contact with them. Can you see the misery of this man? Separated, cut off, an outcast. Then, of course, the physical effects of leprosy would kick in. Because his flesh would start to decay and his flesh would eat away and his fingers and his toes would begin to fall off. His body would decompose, as it were, in front of his very eyes. His body would waste away. And eventually, as the years went by, death would draw nigh. What a miserable condition. In Bible times, a leper would have probably had about 9 years to live in a leper's colony. From the time that he left his wife and family, he would have probably had 9 years at the very most left to live. And here we have this poor man in a miserable condition. Is it any wonder that he came to Christ? Is it any wonder that he was desperate to get to the Savior? Remember as well that he was not only cut off from his family, but he was cut off from the religious life of Israel. He wasn't able to go to the synagogue. He wasn't able to go to the temple in Jerusalem. He wasn't able to have any contact with religious things. So really, whenever you stand back and you look at the broad picture, he was totally cut off from the whole of society. The misery of his condition, the loneliness of it. And here we have this man, and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, leprosy is a picture of sin. I believe that that's very clearly taught in the scriptures. You see, remember that leprosy starts with the spots. The spots. And you know, the Bible speaks of sin as a spot. You know, we read of the Lord Jesus, the one who was without spot and without blemish. He's without sin. But you know, we are the ones who have sin. We're the ones who are full of sin. We're full of spots, as it were. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ came that first Easter to die on the cross, to rise again from the dead, so that he might cleanse us from every spot of sin. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that he died for us that he might purify unto himself his church, that it would be without spot and wrinkle and blemish, nor any such thing. Yes, sin is, leprosy is just like sin. It's a picture of sin. Now think about this for a moment or two. Just the same as leprosy starts so innocently, and it doesn't seem to be a big deal. You know, that's the way sin is, isn't it? That's the way the devil loves to lure people into sin. Come and indulge in this particular activity, and you'll experience such pleasure and such enjoyment, and you'll get such satisfaction out of it. Oh, the devil paints a very beautiful picture of sin, and it's so innocent when it starts off. And the young man or the young woman, when they take their first cigarette, it seems so innocent. But the devil doesn't show them the lung cancer 20, 30 years down the line. The devil doesn't show them 20, 30 years down the line whenever they can't even speak because their vocal cords have been so damaged by their smoking that they can't even speak. Their voice is lost. They need to use a special machine even to be heard by other people. You see, it was so innocent when it started. It didn't seem like anything significant. You know, that's just what sin is like. The devil, whenever the young person takes their first drink, their first beer, their first glass of wine, it seems so innocent. And you know, the attitude is, oh well, sure, it's an anniversary, it's a birthday party, sure, we're just going out for a beer, or we're just going out for a glass of whatever, whiskey or whatever people drink today. Seems so innocent. And the man has the drink. But it's not long before the drink has the man. The leprosy spreads. It becomes more serious. And the devil doesn't show the young person the effects of the alcohol and the drunkenness down the line. Now, the devil won't show the young person, the dark side of it. He doesn't show the young person themselves lying in the back of an ambulance and the paramedics pumping their stomach because they've consumed so much alcohol. No, the devil doesn't show that part. He doesn't like the young person to see that part. Sin's so innocent at first. But my, it gets a grip on the person. You know, the devil doesn't show the drug addict the effects of the ecstasy, the LSD, the speed, the crack cocaine, whatever it is. He doesn't show them the sleepless nights. He doesn't show them the hallucinations. Those awful hallucinations where the young person sees demons and all kinds of evil visions. Visions that torment their mind. Aye, the devil doesn't show the drug addict the asylum, the psychiatric unit, where the drug addict ends up. It was all so innocent when the young person took their first ETAB or whatever it is. And that's just what sin is. You know, sin seems so innocent at first, but it gets a grip on the person. You know, it's just like leprosy. It seems so innocent at first. Just a few spots here and there. Nothing to worry about. But it's not long before the leprosy spreads. And it's not long before the person is miserable. You know, there's a description of leprosy in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. It's not only a description of physical leprosy, but it's a description of spiritual leprosy. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 6, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You see, friends, we're thinking tonight about a man, a dear man, who was full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. If you could have seen him that day when he came to Jesus, you would have been disgusted at the sight. You would have had to turn away from that awful sight. But you know, there's something more awful than physical leprosy. It's spiritual leprosy. It's the leprosy that every person has who is outside of Christ. Friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you've never been born again, you've got spiritual leprosy, and Isaiah chapter 1 is talking about you. Did you hear it the first time? From the sole of the foot even onto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You maybe thought that you had a wee bit of goodness. You maybe thought that you weren't too bad. Well, I'm afraid to have to tell you tonight, the Lord says that you're very bad. In fact, you're so bad that he had to send his precious son to take your hell upon the cross. And that's how bad you are. You know, you see some terrible pictures of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through on Calvary. And even before he got to Calvary, the scourging and the punching, you know, they even blindfolded him. Did you know that? And they played blind man's buff with Jesus. You can read all about it in Luke 22 and verse 64. They put the blindfold on him and they started to play with him and they slapped him and they punched him. And they said, "Now, Lord, who hit you? Who punched you? Who slapped you?" Oh, the blasphemy of it. And it was all because of your sins, because of your leprosy. You see, sometimes people come to me and they say, oh, well, don't be too graphic. And, you know, just be careful about the pictures, you know, and don't be showing people these gruesome pictures about Jesus and what he went through at the cross and what he went through whenever he died on Good Friday. Well, friends, the most gruesome picture that we could present to people, it doesn't even tell half the story. And you know, whenever you see a gruesome picture of that mutilated face, that disfigured face of our Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you see it, remember that sin's like that. Sin's an awful thing. Why is it that the Lord Jesus had to suffer so much? Why was it that his face was more marred than any man? Why was it that on Calvary, you know, people couldn't even recognize him because of the damage that had been done to his face? It was because sin is a terrible thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we have, first of all, here the misery of the leper. The misery of the leper. I want you to think, secondly, about the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. You see, we read in Matthew chapter 8, first of all, that the Lord Jesus cleansed the leper. Notice his cleansing of the leper. You notice that it doesn't say that he healed the leper. Verse 3, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. As soon as Jesus touched the man, and as soon as he spoke to the man, the leprosy was cleansed. Now, we would expect it to have said, healed. We would expect that verse 3 would have read, and immediately his leprosy was healed. But it doesn't say healed, it says cleansed. You know, friends, that reminds me, and it proves to me, that leprosy is a picture of sin. And just as the leper needed to be cleansed from the physical defilement of leprosy, so the sinner, the soul without Jesus, needs to be cleansed from the leprosy of sin. The soul that is without Jesus is unclean, just like the leper, and they need to be cleansed, they need to be cleaned, they need to be purified. And here we have the Lord Jesus cleansing the leper. Oh, what a picture of his cleansing power. He's able to cleanse you tonight of your sins. The question is, will you come to him for cleansing? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now answer that question, are you fully trusting in his grace? Because if you're ever to be saved, if you're ever to be with him in glory forever, you'll have to trust fully in his grace. You see, salvation's all about grace. God giving you something you don't deserve. There's a whole lot of people, and I believe even in evangelical circles today, there's a whole lot of people who kind of have a cocktail. It's like a combination, a bit of grace and a bit of works. And if we have the two, we'll be all right in the end. It'll be all right on the night. No, we need to get rid of the works. Not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? Not for sin can atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Grace. Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you looking away to Christ? Are you looking away from yourself, from your own best efforts? If you'll do that tonight, if you'll fully trust in His grace, then you'll be saved tonight. And whenever you first look away to Christ, and whenever you first trust in His grace, never stop doing it. Never stop trusting in His grace. My grace is a wonderful word. Some people, mind you, kind of distort it and pervert it. And they preach things about grace that have nothing to do with grace. But grace, whenever you read of it in the scriptures, my, it's a wonderful thing. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Oh, the mercy of the Lord Jesus as He cleansed the leper. But what was it that led to His cleansing? What was it that led to the cleansing of this poor leper? Well, it was the connection. Think not only about the cleansing of the leper, but the connection with the leper. Because, and we've already touched on it, the Lord Jesus put forth His hand and He touched the leper. The Lord Jesus connected with the leper. He stretched forth His hand and He touched him. You know, your touch is a wonderful thing, and we're touching things every day. My life would be very strange if we couldn't touch anything. I'm reaching to touch this Bible to find the portion that we're reading from. We're touching one of these things every day. You know, sometimes you go to these computers, and what's these iPods and iPads nowadays, and it's all about touch. You know, you're touching your little children every day. And you're touching, you're shaking hands with people in the church, in the house of God. We're touching things every day. Touch is a wonderful thing. But you know, I can just imagine the scene here in Matthew chapter 8 as the Lord Jesus touched this outcast. You can just imagine the people who were there that day, the people who witnessed that miracle. I'm sure their mouths were open. Their eyes were almost popping out of their heads. Jesus is touching this man. He's going to be defiled. He's going to contract the leprosy. And you know, they must have been amazed. They must have been aghast that the Lord Jesus Christ would touch such a vile person. But you know, therein lies one of the sweetest aspects of the gospel. The Lord Jesus does touch vile people. And He saves vile sinners. I've proof tonight. I'm saved. He touched me. And when He touched me, He touched the vilest of sinners. We all know Fanny Crosby's hymn so well. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. There's no one too sinful that Jesus can't reach them. You think about the most disgusting person that you know. Whether you've come in contact with them personally, or you've read about them in the newspaper, or you've come across them on the internet, or whatever. The most disgusting, evil person you know of. And Jesus is willing to touch them and save them. My, is not enough to inspire you to go out this week and to reach the lost? Isn't that enough to inspire you to go out and to give out the invitations for Thursday night? Oh, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and His great mercy that He was willing to cleanse the leper and He was willing to connect with the leper. Jesus put forth His hand and touched him. You know, the moment that the hand of Jesus touched the poor leper, virtue flowed from Christ into that leper's body. You know, the people were standing thinking, oh, well, the disease of leprosy and the filthiness of leprosy is going to transfer itself into the body of this man from Nazareth. But you know, it was the other way around. The virtue, the purity, the healing power flowed from Christ into this poor leper. My, what a miracle. He was immediately healed. Immediately the leprosy left him. You know, that's a picture of the gospel, isn't it? The soul is saved immediately. The moment they trust Christ, the moment they cry out to Him for mercy, they're saved. It's instantaneous. You don't drift into salvation. You don't drift into becoming a Christian. It doesn't take place over a period of time. It happens immediately. But we need to come finally tonight to the ministry of the law. Not only the misery of the leper and the mercy of the Lord, but the ministry of the law. Because we read Leviticus chapter 14. And we really need to touch on this and to speak about it before we finish. Because here we have a wonderful object lesson on the gospel. We have here in this passage at the beginning of Leviticus 14, the leper, and the priest goes to this poor man, and the leper brings the sacrifice to the priest. The leper comes to the priest with the two birds. And it tells us in verse 5, "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water." Friends, that's a very clear picture of the Lord Jesus. You see, He's the bird who was in the earthen vessel. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon Himself the form of man. He took upon Himself a human body, an earthen vessel, as it were. And you know, friends, the bird wasn't, the natural environment of the bird wasn't in the earthen vessel. The bird is meant to be out in the open. But you know, the bird was to be put into this earthen vessel in preparation for its death. It wasn't in its natural environment. You know, friends, that reminds me that the Lord Jesus left the ivory palaces and He came into this sin-cursed world. And I tell you, this world wasn't His natural environment, because He's the Holy Son of God, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who had never experienced sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. There's no sin in His thoughts and His words and His actions. And yet He came into this world that was filled and polluted with sin. The bird in the earthen vessel. And the bird is slain. Verse 6, and as for verse 5, "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water." The bird is killed. That speaks of the death of Christ. The atonement that He made, the shedding of His blood. And of course, the blood is then taken and it's sprinkled upon the living bird. And it's sprinkled upon the leper. The leper now has the blood of atonement sprinkled upon him. Is that not a picture of the gospel of you and me who are saved? The blood is sprinkled upon us. The moment that we call out to the Lord Jesus for salvation, the Spirit of God sprinkles us with the blood of the Lamb.
And here was this poor man, and he was now pronounced clean, and the blood was upon him. And my, he must have looked a sight. I'm sure he still looked like a leper. But he had been pronounced clean because the blood was upon him. You know, friends, that reminds me tonight that no matter what way we look, no matter what way we feel, if the blood is upon us, if we're sheltered under the blood tonight, as far as God is concerned, we're clean. You mightn't feel that you're saved. But them feelings have nothing to do with salvation, because we're not saved by feelings, we're saved by faith. But what about the living bird? Well, we're told in verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood, and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Notice the cedar wood there for a moment. The cedar tree is the tallest tree in the forest. And you see, the cedar was cut down in order for the wood to be obtained. You know, that reminds me of humility. If you're to be saved tonight, you'll have to humble yourself. You'll have to swallow your pride. You'll have to step out on the side of King Jesus. Humility is required. And here we have this living bird. And the blood is sprinkled upon this living bird, and it's let loose into the open field. My, what a wonderful picture of our risen Lord. What a wonderful picture of our risen Savior tonight. And you know, he has ascended into heaven with the blood of his atonement. And he presents that blood before the Father in heaven. And it's because of that blood tonight that we are accepted, that we are redeemed. Thank God tonight for the living bird. He is alive. He's risen from the dead. You see, it takes a living Savior to save dead sinners. It takes a living Savior to save your soul tonight. If he was still in the tomb, there'd be no hope for you. Oh, the wonder of the message tonight, the joy of the gospel. This is the heart of the gospel tonight. This is the glorious news that we proclaim, that the Lord Jesus not only died, but that he rose again, and because he rose again, he has the power to save. And the Bible says that he's mighty to save. He cleansed the leper, and he can cleanse you. Question is, will you come to him tonight? Oh, that the Lord would help you to take that step tonight. That on this Easter Sunday 2012, oh, that you would take that step tonight, and I can guarantee you that you'll never regret it. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone.